All right, so we go into hour number three. Welcome back, or good morning, good afternoon. What's cracking? What's up? We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, phone lines are wide open. You know to hit me up on social media. We're old school. I still read your emails. All that is still ahead. But as promised, we are joined right now by a World Series champion, a three-time All-Star, a three-time MLB RBI leader, a two-time MLB home run champ, a Silver Slugger and Hank Aaron Award winner. He was the National League MVP. He appears courtesy of the Scottsfield Refurbishment Program, which we will get into. A lot to cover with Ryan Howard. Ryan, it is so good to have you on the program, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Jim. Thank you for having me, man.
Oh, man, I was going to say, it's been a long time. In fact, a long time since you and I kind of chopped it up a little bit. How are you doing? How is your life these days? What's it like?
Man, life is good. It has been a while, man. It has been a while. Life has been good. Been playing the family circuit, trying to figure out this game they call golf. So, spending time with the family, relaxing a little bit, keeping up with some ball, and doing this thing with Scotts and MLB, so doing the field refurbishment program. So it's been good.
I like that a lot. I like that response very much. So what about this thing they call golf, Ryan? That golf to me is always fascinating. Like I could get into for hours why I don't play, but I love high-level athletes and their fascination with the sport. How's that going for you? Do you like it? Have you taken to it? Do you like it because you can't master it? Like, what's your love of the game? Where does it come down to?
You know what? It's I have taken to it. It's a love-hate relationship. I love to go out and try to play. My ball hates staying in the fairway. So, it's a work in progress, but it's fun, man. I'm enjoying it.
I like it. Ryan Howard's joining us. All right, so when you look back on your career, you played in so many postseason games. When October rolls around, what kind of memories do you have of all the trips to the postseason and the World Series?
Man, thinking about it, just the electricity, I think, number one, is from the crowd, from the home field, playing Citizens Bank Park. Just the electricity, the feeling that you got when you woke up, knowing that you were going in, you were, in the playoffs, in the postseason, playing in the World Series, you're one of two teams left. This is what it's all about. This is where, as a kid, this is what you dream about. This is the opportunity. This is the place you want to be. So I think, kind of waking up, going to the ballpark, as soon as you step out on that field, you hear the crowd just erupt, and you just, man, it's just a whole different feeling of like, all right, let's go. You're excited.
Ryan Howard is joining us. So, Ryan, what's it take in your mind to be successful in the postseason? Is it just a matter of the most talented team? Is it the hottest team, or is it something else?
It's a combination of everything. Obviously the hottest team, that's going at the right time, you can get pretty far in there. I mean, I remember going back 2007, the Colorado Rockies won like the last 19 or 20 games in a row, wound up making it to the World Series. But I think that once you get to the World Series, it's all about the little things. It's that kind of turn into the big things. And, again, you're playing the top of the top and from both divisions. It's about execution. It's about finishing out the plays and finishing out the game. Obviously the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is going to be the team that comes out on top.
Not only that, Ryan, I would imagine also it's about how you deal with the pressure and how you deal with playing in the clutch. For instance, your manager, Charlie Manuel, used to say that there are guys that want to be in those pressure-packed moments. There are guys that want to be at the plate in that moment. There are guys that want to make that play. Obviously, your Phillies team's had a lot of guys that have that kind of attitude. But, is it accurate to say that every major leaguer has that approach? Or maybe would some, even at that level, rather not be in those pressure-packed moments? Maybe don't want the ball hit to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say because everybody's makeup is different. You would like to say that. You don't know. Some people are just built for those situations. It's like Charlie said, you got to want to hit. You got to want to be in that situation. So, it's tough to say because you just don't know how a lot of guys are thinking, but you would like to think that, hey, like when the game is on the line, I want to be that guy that's up at the plate.
talking to Ryan Howard. I get that. So last year you were on Joe Posnanski's podcast and you were talking about meeting a guy, Ryan, that I absolutely adored, Buck O'Neill. God, Buck was such a great, great dude. And you talked about what it was like to meet him for the first time and the impact that had on you. I'm really curious, what do you remember about meeting Buck? And then what did that mean to you?
I mean, you know, first thing is the man lights up a room.
Yeah.
When you're in his presence, you just feel better just in general about life. And just the stories and how he would go about talking about the different stories from the times when he played, from when he was managing, and just all the stuff. I mean, it's like it makes you feel as though you were right there and you're reliving it. So, I mean, I always enjoyed my time with Mr. O'Neill. And, you know, baseball, we all miss him. We all miss him. I mean, he definitely made not just baseball better, but I think he helped make the world a better place.
Oh, he did. There's no doubt. Ryan Howard, my guest. Buck O'Neill was amazing. I used to have him on the program. He had so much it, and he just was larger than life. He had this amazing personality, dude. Like, I couldn't even believe that he actually knew who I was or liked me. I'm like, I have no idea why this is, but man, this guy is so awesome. Buck is amazing. You know, you and I, Ryan, we could talk for hours about the battle between the pitcher and the batter. I'm really curious about something. When you were facing a guy who had an especially great pitch, like maybe a great hook, a great curve, were you looking for that or were you trying to avoid that and hit something else to your liking?
So it would all depend on the situation early on. If I knew a guy had a certain pitch and that he was going to – it just depends on when I knew he was going to try to use it. If it was a nasty breaking ball, like I would try to – I'd try to avoid it at all costs if I could. So if he's giving me a fastball earlier in the count or something to hit earlier in the count, I don't want to get to the breaking ball. If a guy had, you know, a pretty good or a decent changeup, you know, I think – for me, my mantra was, you know, I would just kind of look for something straight at times. Not necessarily look for a fastball, but just look straight to where if it's a changeup out of the hand or a fastball out of the hand, just kind of seeing it and trying to make the adjustment as need be. But, you know, to where those pitches, changeups and whatnot, like I could try to work those a little bit more in the count or try to look for those in certain counts. As well, but I didn't want to try to get to the nasty curveball if I could try to avoid it. But sometimes too, just with, you know, if I'm battling and fouling off pitches, it kind of became a process of elimination at times to where I was like, okay, what pitch haven't I seen? Oh, okay, he may come with a slider or the curveball right here. So then thus, yeah, I might be looking for that certain pitch.
That is the mind of a major leaguer right there. That is fascinating to think about the sequencing and the way you go up there and the plan you have and what you're looking for and what you've seen, what you haven't seen. Ryan, I want to ask you about the things you're doing off the field, but I want to ask you one more thing really quickly first. I had Joey Votto on the show a few weeks back. We were talking about the craft of hitting. We were talking in particular about Barry Bonds and his approach to the plate when he knew that he was never, ever going to see a good pitch and the way he handled himself. I can remember very distinctly, Ryan, back in the day when Barry was like in the midst of it and there was so much heat and he was playing as well as he was. I mean, literally, he could expect at best, one good pitch in a bat, if that. Mm-hmm. Yet somehow, some way, he was always locked in and seemingly could almost always turn on it when he got that one opportunity or that one pitch. What do you make of the way Barry handled his business in the batter's box?
I mean, honestly, it's something special, and I don't think people understand it. Barry figured out who Barry was and what made Barry Barry. And I always tell people, I feel like people have that inner Barry in them to where it's like you just have to kind of figure that out. Because to get to that point, to understand like what your strengths are, and what your weaknesses are, what the pitcher is trying to do to you, but then to have the wherewithal and the calm and the confidence to sit there and say, all right, I'm going to get walked. They're not going to pitch to me. But when they do mess up, I'm going to be ready to hit this mistake and not miss this mistake. I had the opportunity of kind of being able to kind of work with Barry and hit with him for like a week. And just the amount of knowledge that he was able to spit to me, like in that week, I'm just like, man, like I get it, because his mindset also went to what the pitcher is trying to do to him, but like taking it and flipping it back on the pitcher, in a sense. So, I mean, to be able to get into that kind of a mindset, to be able to get to that kind of comfort level, to understand, even to the point to where it was almost like if Barry didn't swing at it, like, then it was a ball. Like, you know, pitcher could have thrown a ball right down the middle, and Barry didn't swing at it, then the umpires, I think, were kind of programmed to where it's like, well, if Barry didn't swing at it, it must not be a strike. So, you know what I mean? So
that's funny.
It's one of those things to where if you watch, it's, yeah, I mean, he was just so locked in, but he was locked in on himself and knew what he was capable of being able to do and what he wanted to do against pitchers, as well as what the pitchers were wanting to try to do against him. And like I said, flip the script on the pitchers.
So true. Like, you don't even remember him really ever swinging at bad balls when that's all he mm-hmm. got, and he was fine taking that walk knowing that that's the way that was. So, Ryan, you're mm-hmm. working with the Scottsfield Refurbishment Program. Exactly what is the program all about, and what are you doing with those folks?
Yeah, so it's the Scottsfield Refurbishment Program, along with Major League Baseball. So they're committed to improving fields of play and encouraging youth communities to get outside and enjoy activities such as baseball and softball. And each year, the field refurbishment program will provide grants and products and services up to the value of $50,000 for four youth-serving organizations that are in need of renovations of existing ball fields. So it's been doing a very, very great job thus far. It's touched like millions of kids in the United States, and being able to help provide more playable surfaces for them to be able to get out, not only for them, but for their community. So it's been fun for me to be able to be a part of that. And that's always been something that's been near and dear to my heart, is giving these kids the opportunity, getting them to be able to be outside, play, be active, but be able to be in a safe, and good, strong, playable field environment to be able to enjoy playing baseball and softball.
All those things are so important. Every one of those things you just mentioned. I've got a son who plays high school baseball, Ryan. It's so fun. It's like one of the best things. Really quickly, before you go, you're involved also in the Players Alliance, which is about mm-hmm. increasing racial equality in baseball. What's it been like to be involved in the organization, and what's that mean to you?
Man, it's been great. It's been great. Being in there with CC, Curtis Granderson, EJ, Edwin Jackson, all those guys have been amazing. The group, I mean, I think in what's thus far, what it's been able to accomplish, what it's been able to provide, and continue to look to provide, is just amazing. It's an amazing feat to be able to have this organization being able to do what we're doing right now.
So much quality there. He's a World Series champion, a three-time All-Star, and NL MVP. Today he appeared courtesy of the Scottsfield Refurbishment Program. Ryan Howard, my guest. Ryan, so good to get caught up with you, man. I miss you, big dude. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. What a great conversation.
Oh, man. Appreciate it, Jim. Hey, man. Always, bro. Always a pleasure coming on the show.
Much respect, Ryan. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Ryan Howard, that was fun. That was so good. That was so interesting, too. Really enjoyed that conversation. I hope you did, too. 2006 NL MVP. All right, so there is the interview portion of the program. God, it was so good to get caught up with him. When we come back, phone lines are open. What do you want to hit on? If you're somebody saying, like calling up and hitting Tommy with, hey man, why aren't you guys talking about the Lakers and Russell Westbrook and what happened last night? Well, we are, we did, we will. Reset this thing. Hit me, 1-800-636-8686. Bad, bad night for the Lakers. Whether it's a hard day of work, after a hard day, or maybe you're just kind of relaxing on the weekend, we all love to kick back. We want to get down. We want to get some action. We want to watch live sports. It doesn't matter what sport you're watching. It's always fun to have a little bit of action. This is why I'm going to recommend to you downloading the WynnBET app. I was in Vegas this week. I was visiting with the folks at WynnBET. I'm telling you, great operation, great app, great people, tremendous action. You want to do this. Whether you're a recreational player or a serious handicapper, WynnBET is your ticket to every exciting wager, from straight bets to parlays, teasers, any exotic prop wager that you can come up with. As an example, Halloween, Dallas, Minnesota, Sunday night. Great matchup. And the app is awesome. It's easy to use. And everybody knows that Wynn is one of the biggest and best brands in the gaming industry. Get off the sidelines. Join in on the action. Download the WynnBET app on Google Play or in the Apple Store right now. Get yourself in the game. Win with WynnBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Over a century ago, Tryco was the first to make wiper blades, and they have been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Tryco, the future of wipers since 1917. Visit TrycoCatsAndDogs.com. I'm still laughing at that guy who said, hey, man, somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to say it. That wiper blade might be good, but it's not good enough to deal with the carcass of a dog that fell out of the sky. And I said, no, it's a really good wiper blade. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. So, Ryan Howard, like, when you hear me say to a guest, quote, it's been a minute, or it's been a long time, it generally really has been a minute or a long time. We just went back, and so I bring this up because Ryan Howard, I mean, you heard the interview, right? He shows up in a great, great way. Super insightful, super conversational, knows where he is, there is a connection. It felt great. So I started thinking to myself, man, I wonder how long it's been. We went back into our records. If I'm not mistaken, Ryan Howard, I find this hard to believe. I would have to confirm this. But according to our records, he has not been on this show since 2009. I find that so hard to believe. But, and that may or may not be true, but the last bit of sound that we have is from 2009. And this is what that sounded like. Great to have you back. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Romy. Hey, next time, you got to go with Shane.
Say it again?
You had to go with Shane as your correspondent over there.
Ah. Hey, do you want it?
What's that? Yeah, we could talk about that. We could talk about that. Anybody but Shane.
See, I'm holding out that you'll host the show. You're kind of above the correspondent piece. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. That'll work.
Ryan Howard is burning. I've got a talk show for you, Ryan.
That'll work.
That's the correspondent piece that we used to do on GRIB, remember? A lot of famous, famous correspondent pieces that were done there. Delonte comes to mind. That was the, to this day, it's very sad to see what Delonte West is dealing with right now. And I hope that he's able to get the help that he needs. I know that Mark Cuban obviously tried very hard to help him out. I'm sure still is. Delonte West had the most famous correspondent piece of all time. I think you all know that. That's what Ryan Howard was talking about, though. Why did you go with Shane? Shane Victorino, right? I said, big dog, you're above that. So that's the last bit of sound that we had, 2009. Our records also indicate that Ryan Howard was on the TV show in 2011. So it's entirely possible that I went a whole decade without speaking to him. You know, some guys are more available and accessible in retirement than others. So sometimes when we have a conditional pitch like that one, if it's a really good pitch, like it's something that I think makes a difference in the world, I'm happy to do it, as opposed to, you know, a widget or soap or detergent. If you're giving back, I'm all about that. And if you're giving back and you can give us a conversation like the one we just had, better yet. And that's exactly what you get. And if you're giving back and I have a chance to talk to somebody who I haven't talked to in a decade, best of all. Let me get some reaction really quickly. Kane, 7890. You haven't gotten to Squid Game yet. I haven't gotten to playing well yet. Signed, Russ Westbrook.
Just the sucked. First half.
That's not really true. It's kind of true. I mean, he did have a triple-double last night. Actually, a quad-double.
which sort of diminishes the significance of the triple-double. In this case, a quad is not better than a triple. Beauregard's Butler is back in. Jim, you're right. Those Tom Emanski commercials were on all the time. Sincerely, NHTSA Railroad Safety Commercials. I'm going to tell you something. As somebody who would not have a show if not for commercials, every commercial is important to me. I cannot play favorites. I will not play favorites. NHTSA commercials might be my favorite. No offense to every other sponsor. I know that the suits are going to be freaking out right now. Oh, really? Really? Hey, Rome, WinBet is on the other line. Hey, Rome, O'Reilly is on the other line. Hey, Rome, Trico is on the other line. Hey, Rome, Old Trapper is on the other line. Hey, Rome, every sponsor on the show is on the other line saying that you said NHTSA was your favorite commercial. You got to admit, they're not like any other commercial. They also have an important message, and they have it with attitude. And the message is, get the hell off the railroad tracks. There's a train coming. They can't stop. The train can't. But you can get your ass off the tracks before you get run over and dragged by a train. You can imagine whereby I might be excited to see that commercial message. Because one, it's important. Two, they literally pay us to say that. And three, the message. So you're wrong, man. You keep NHTSA the hell out your mouth and you listen to what they have to say. Burt and Hemet. Squid Game. Never heard of it. Sounds like something guys like us might do for leisure while slamming caviar on the yacht. Beauregard. I don't want to say exactly what Squid Game is, although I haven't seen the show. I know what it is. But I don't want to give up anything. Boss Man, after I finish convincing Chocula to wear a costume to work tomorrow, I'm going to light a manila folder full of cockroaches on fire and leave it on Ritz's desk. Regards, the office prankster, Alvy, a.k.a. Papa Roach.
This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing.
Gee, off, that actually made me laugh. Papa Roach as Coloss for Alvy is kind of funny. Chalk, man. Chalk, you're smart, but not savvy. No offense, bro. He's like, yes, Alvin. Oh, I'd love to see that folder. Here you go, dude. I'll tell that story one last time, and I'll give you the quick version. We have cockroaches. Why even reset that? What's even better was that roach that Alvin smashed on his soundboard last week, and the New York guys who had it on video and ran it back. That was awesome. Jumpman, you should send out the new guy to bring in a jelly bean cheesecake to see what Ritz play is. Your move, Ike. Mike in Green Bay wore the USMC. Ike, what would you do with that? A jelly bean cheesecake. Just scrape them off?
Jelly beans suck.
Rit, man, the biggest sugar fiend ever said jelly beans suck.
They suck to the power of a thousand.
Oh, jelly beans suck. You suck, Rit. Come on, man. Jelly beans. You eat sugar straight. Like spoonfuls. Sugar sandos. Oh, but you're not having a jelly bean. It's one thing to say that like certain jelly beans don't work, but come on, man. Just to paint them with a broad stroke like jelly beans suck. You suck,
jelly
Rit.
Beans
stop saying that,
suck.
Man. He's like, they're garbage.
Garbage.
Oh, okay, Rit. Jelly beans are garbage.
Can't do it, baby.
Can't do it, baby. Dude, good job talking to Thomas Dolby, though. That was a good book. Good interview and a good book. Trying to shred your other wing. I got into this briefly the other day. So Rit's been in a bad mood lately, and since I haven't had the conversation with you off air, I might as well have it right now. I knew there was something wrong because he's happy, man. he's got this confidence that he shouldn't have and a swagger that he should not have. But most of all, he's happy, man. The old man's got a smile on his face every day, except for like the past month or so. So I knew something was off. I didn't know what it was. And then just casually on the air, I mentioned one day, somebody said, oh, it was part of the ATP. Jim, have you ever broken a bone? I said, you know what's amazing? I don't think that I have. I tore a rotator cuff once. So Rip passes by my office and goes, hey, yo, boss, did you tear your rotator cuff? I said, yes. He said, when? I said, long time ago. 20 years ago, maybe? He's like, yeah, man. Like, I did. And we started having this whole conversation. I'm like, that's why you're so upset. So the line of questioning starts. He's like, well, how long did it last? I'm like, a pretty long time. How long? I don't know, man. Maybe almost a year. Well, do you still feel the effects of it right now? I said, no, Ike. It was 20 years ago. He's like, yeah, but was it chronic? Was it lingering? I'm like, Jared. It's your name, right? Jared. He goes, no, it's Garrett. I'm like, no, dude, not 20 years. Not the rest of your life. Like, his whole thing is like, hey, man, I got to be able to get shots up. I'm like, Rit, I've seen you get your shots up. You mean in your driveway, that hook shot? That shot you have to get up? He's like, dude, I got physical things I got to do. I'm like, you? This is what he's upset about. Not like, hey, I want to be able to lift my grandkids. He's like, I'm a physical bro, man. I got things I got to do. I got to get shots up. I got to be at the gym.
This is not cool.
I'm like, Rit, all you do is eat sugar, man. What are you talking about? You got to get shots up. Anyway, Rit's dealing with it, man. He's playing through it. He's playing hurt. He's got a shredded rotator cuff. I don't know, dude, if it'll make you feel better. I saw a report on ESPN that Baker Mayfield saying that he might be able to go Sunday. Baker Mayfield has got like a totally torn labrum. And he's got other fraying going on. And if he can, quote, play in the NFL on Sunday, dude, you can get up that sorry-ass hook shot in your driveway where you say you're better than Mike.
Thank you.
You feel better? Did that help? Throw some sugar on it, man. Just do your rehab, do your therapy. Yeah, man, but it's boring. I know. It's the worst. It's like this. You just do this for like 9 months with light weights. It works, though. It'll help. Oh, I'm not afraid of the work. I know, Rip, but I can't tell you that it's going to be fixed tomorrow. I know that's what you want to hear from me.
Bring it
or
on.
Or next week. I'm not afraid of the work. I know, Rit. I know you're not afraid of anything, dude, except not having sugar. Wells, speaking of sugar, Wells, I play games with squids all the time. Signed, Bison Daily. See, Wells, you're one of those guys that has that list of jungle items that the idiots think are funny, like Bison Daily. Yeah, that's funny. He drowned. At a young age. That's funny. Really funny. Good stuff by Wells. Anyway, you're one of those guys who has a list of those topics that are taboo that should never, ever come up on the program that you just go to like a Mad Lib. Like, let me jam a Bison Daily reference in here. Never mind that guy has family and they lost a loved one. Anyway, you're that guy, Wells. But the problem is you're not good at it. Assuming that I allowed it, there are a few people that can actually play that game well, although it's not a game we play. You're not one of them. Stop doing that, Will. Well, you're really not good at anything. I don't know what it is you're good at or why you like this show. That's my whole thing. There are people who love this show and love me that are not good at the show at all. Then there are people who hate my guts that I've said really nice things about that should love me. Like, all this stuff's so backwards. Here's one. Hey, Jim, tell Garrett we're not paying for his rotator cuff surgery. He willingly lifted those giant margaritas. Signed, Solvang. That's well played. Those, dude, I know you were slamming beer in those gigantic mugs in Solvang. Steins, that's what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Finally, you gave me something I needed.
You finally
told me something that I didn't know. Steins, my bad. Gigantic ceramic steins. Is that how you tore your rotator cuff? Okay, then. Ooh. Beer. Steins. I got one for you. Shredded shoulder.
Dolby.
Dude, they want to know, how did you do that? Was that part of your boot camp workouts? How did you separate your wing? He said, probably. All right. This is what you get, man, for being a tough guy. You're trying to rush through stuff, dude. When we return. Hey, James Kelly. My man. Shut up, dude.
Omaha!
I'm almost clone-like. You know why? You're acting like one. Again.
Wind
shut
drop.
Up, dude. Don't. James Kelly, man. This guy. Didn't I mention the other day that he's like functionally illiterate? But he's like a savant. Like the way he picks games. Like he's like, yeah, he Bison. Yeah. I used to interview Bison Daily on this show. Do relationships mean anything at all to you ghouls? Anyway. There are times, clones, where I am so grateful for you, and there are times when you infuriate me. I'm not going to lie. Trying so hard to get to tonight's game. And I'm not the only one who wants to. Check out Bella B. Hi, Jim. I don't need the big head to tell me who to pick on Thursday Night Football. I need the big head to tell me how much to put on the cards. War big head bets being free for now. War lady clones with class. Bella B in Calgary. Damn, she is smart, man. She is so smart. She is so good. See what she just said? Head. War big head bets being free for now. She's connecting dots. Bella, you saw a picture of me and the head at WinBet in Vegas, didn't you? Here's the thing. Bella, how do you know he's taking the cards? She's great. She does what he says generally when it comes to big head bets. He will be on tomorrow. He's not on before this game. I've got thoughts on the game that I'm going to try and get to. But the big head and I will break down tomorrow a number of matchups in the NFL. There is something else going on. Big head and I, we don't play favorites, but one of our favorite MMAers is coming off a long stretch. Or he's been off for a while, Chimaev. We love Chimaev. But the number is not good on him. He's minus 575 off that layoff. So I don't know whether or not the head will hit that. The good thing about the head, big head James Kelly, even though there are athletes or teams or situations that he loves, he does not get emotional. If he sees a fighter that he loves personally but does not like the number, he won't hit it. So we'll see. Heads from Bacon. Quote, using Baker Mayfield's situation to encourage Ritt in his shoulder recovery is like comparing a Michelin star chef to the Fry Kid at In-N-Out. All right, so that's bringing back some bad memories. I literally was not good at the fries at In-N-Out. I was the Fry Kid. Seriously, and if you're like, how hard can that be? There was a process to those fries. And remember, the thing about In-N-Out, and this is the way it was when I worked there, people either loved the French fries or thought they were ass. There was nothing in between. If everybody loves McDonald's fries, at In-N-Out, because I worked there for 9 months, I remember having this conversation over and over again. Hey, man, I love your fries. Hey, man, your fries are ass. I hate your fries. Can't you fix that? And my response would always be no, because they're fresh. Because the job also was to take the potatoes, peel them, and then knock them through the wringer to turn them into fries and then put them in the oil. but then you had to get the grease off them. And the way they did that back in the day, I don't know how they do it right now, maybe the same way, but once they went into the fryer, they would come out, and we'd put these fries on a towel, and you'd have to shake it out. That's how they got the grease off it back in the day. So you're asking yourself, how hard could that be? Right. How hard could it be to jam a double-double into that little diaper, that little paper diaper? That also gave me trouble. In fact, the whole job gave me trouble. I was good at one thing, emptying the trash cans. No, again, the only thing that I was good at In-N-Out, was eating the meal that came with every shift. I was good at that.
I love In-N-Out.
And playing softball. Because you'd have to be an idiot not to be good at slow-pitch softball. And to those morons, the guys that were really good at the fries, there was a lot of hate going on inside that little hut, man. Let me tell you something. I hated the people that were better at the fries than me. I hated the people that were better at putting the burgers in the little paper diaper than me. Well, I got mine on the diamond because they were morons, man. They couldn't even swing a bat. Do you know how much of a moron you'd have to be not to hit 400 and slow pitch In-N-Out softball?
Swing the bat, puss.
I've always said this, that I would have been the first guy ever fired from In-N-Out Burger for not being good at the job. You know what's even worse? I wanted to be good at the job. Like, I tried hard. I tried hard at the fries. I tried hard at putting the burger in the diaper, and I still was not good at it. But damn, that manager, he loved me, man. Because I was freaking Babe Ruth in his stupid little softball league. I was Shohei, essentially, to those people. Damnedest thing I've ever seen. Like, there was the one, number two. They have these. They have the manager, they have the two, they have the three, and they have the four. And then the rest of us are just employees. That's management. The number two guy was one of those guys who was like high school stud guy. He may have even played some really small college baseball. That dude could rake. He could rake. So I wasn't as good as him, believe it or not. But man, I was so much better than those other knobs I worked with who had no coordination. Enough coordination that they could do the fries, but not enough coordination that they could pick it. I'm telling you, dude, I was Mike Schmidt at third base and Shohei with a stick in my hand. That kept me employed. So when you talk about how that's like comparing the Michelin chef to the fry guy. Don't bring up the fry guy, man. That gives me bad memories. It's taking me back to a bad place. God, thank God for softball. I was softball guy. But I wasn't. I wasn't acting like it was game seven. I just knew that that's how I had to stay employed. I knew. In fact, you know what it was? It was game seven. I knew that if I didn't lead off every single game with a rope or like be standing on my head on third base, that guy was going to fire me. Believe me, luckily for me, it was slow pitch softball. If there was any kind of movement on the block or any kind of velo and I needed that to keep my job, I would have had my ass out on the street. Yeah, man, it was game seven. Every at bat was game seven. Because I knew I couldn't get a double-double in that little baggie. Brian says, did the win have to open the back dock rolling door so James Kelly could get in the resort? War Las Vegas casinos having the big head's picture up in the sports book like a wanted poster. No. They did not. Not yet, they didn't. They probably will. My man settled into the meeting, too, man. You should have seen this guy. Like, you've heard him talk, right? You've heard what he's done to the English language, correct?
Get ready, Fantasy Hawks. Fantasy Honks.
So I got to sit down with this guy at a meeting with some high-level executives at the Wynn. All right? And these dudes are sharp. Sharp.
Wynn!
And I got to sit there with James Kelly, and he's just chomping at the bit like he's coming out of his chair. Like, I got things to say. I got things to offer. It was awesome. 1-for-3 C1 is in. Slow pitch softball is serious ass.
Serial ass.
Signed at Garrett Ritt, president of the Kickball League. Hey, listen, there wasn't a kickball league when I worked at In-N-Out when I was 16, but there was a softball league. And I want to say this one more time. I don't know why. Like, some people are just inherently competitive. Like, they want to win at everything. For whatever reason, the guy that I work for, and he was a hard ass, especially on me. I mean, the guy just hated me, except on Saturday mornings. I don't know if that was, I don't know if he hated the world. I don't know if he hated that the other offices or branches or stores were kicking his ass in sales. Whatever it was, man, he had an edge to him. And part of it was getting his on the softball field. He wanted to win badly. Badly. So, what was it? Ryan Howard said it. You got to know your strengths and you have to know your weaknesses. My strengths were none at In-N-Out. I was not good at any aspect of the job. My only strength was I could swing it in slow pitch softball, because who can't, man? It's slow pitch softball. I mean, anybody who's played Little League Baseball can play slow pitch softball, except all those morons I worked with at In-N-Out. None of them obviously played Little League ball growing up. Knobs. No offense, Knobs. Yeah, Rome, because they were much better at you at In-N-Out, right? I'll own that. They were, man. They were. Here we go. Hey, Jim, you seem like you weren't good at your jobs in the past, but you're amazing at what you do now. Us clones who are good at our jobs are just trying to get you fired at what you're great at with our idiotic takes and tweets. I'm sorry. That's good. I appreciate that, Adrian. Thank you very much. Huge call brought to you by Dell. A Dell Technologies advisor is there for you. They're focused on you. They're ready to give you advice on everything from Windows laptops to the cloud to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and start a simpler experience with a Windows 11 Pro. 877-ASK-DELL. 877-ASK-DELL. See you tomorrow. We're out.